There's a mentor of mine who's been walking with me now for close to 15 years or so, who he shared his light of Christ to me when I was in a dark place. And he invited me into this way of loving others as a spiritual discipline. It is fascinating how we have all of these spiritual disciplines, but lacking is the actual spiritual discipline of loving one another. So my mentor developed the discipline of love, pretty simple. A discipline that invites us to see all of our relationships, our relationship with God, our relationship with one another, our relationship even within ourselves, and our relationship with creation as spaces where Christ is inviting us in his love to love sacrificially. And it doesn't just happen. This is discipleship. We have to intentionally root ourselves in the love of Christ, to abide in the light of Christ, receiving his word that we are known, that we're loved, that we're forgiven. And then we have to intentionally learn to see our neighbors anew, to see our workplace and schools and homes anew, everywhere we go, as spaces where we are being invited to sacrificially love, to put others' needs before our own, to invite others into our story, and to invite others to tell their story to us. In our passage, Jesus says that we ought to take care then how you hear. For the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. I think Jesus is inviting us to consider that the more we receive the light and the love of Christ, and the more that we share that love in Christ, the more we experience the fullness of who God has made us and redeemed us to be fully human, being conformed into the image of Christ. And when we refuse, when we reject the light and love of Christ, we are not being changed. We are not connected to the power source, and we do not have the love of Christ to offer. And this is this difficult work of discipleship, of following Christ, practicing and learning to abide in the love of Christ and to love one another and being confronted with all the reasons why we don't, why we don't want to. What are we afraid of? The deep hurts we still carry, the wounds we have or the brokenness we still bear, our need to confess, and then confessing, receiving the light of Christ. We're invited even deeper still into that work of sharing the light. I would offer that this work of discipleship, of hearing and doing God's word, of failing and doubting and questioning and confessing our need, is the work of the church, a work that happens in community. You see, when we hear and receive God's word, when we receive the light, we're changed. We have something to offer, and we belong to something new, God's family. All up in my house, I'm gonna let it shine. Well, in our passage, Jesus offers us an expansive view of my house. With his family unable to reach him because of the crowds, he was told, "Your mothers and your brothers are standing outside." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and who do it." This is not a rejection of Jesus' family. It is a radical expansion of it. This ragtag crew of disciples, of tax collectors, of sinners, this crowd of women healed by infirmities and evil spirits, those who are outsiders, marginalized by the religious and political structures, these who hear and do what I am saying, these are my family, Jesus says. And this word from God, from Jesus, offers us good news still today. In a society that thrives, even defines itself by exclusion, The gospel, in the words of Christ, offers a whole new way of belonging. You are known. You are loved. You are forgiven. You have something to offer, and you belong. Connected to Christ, we now are connected to one another. This is your family, which ought to challenge the entire way in which we do church. Do we find ourselves gravitating toward those who are like us? Families towards families, couples with couples. Into spaces where we feel comfortable, toward folks we know? If so, I would offer we're neglecting the fullness of the beauty and the wonder and the work of the family that God has called us to. I would also want to say that this radical re-envisioning of family and God's call to it includes but is not limited to this space. Yes, we need to engage and listen to all the diverse voices socially, economically, and ethnically within our church. But our call to family reaches beyond this space to diverse spaces in our neighborhood, in our city, and even our world. And this is not something we have done well as a church, capital C, or a church, lowercase c, which we formally confessed and we lamented this past February. Well, the invitation is still here. To move toward those who are different from us, and to listen to them, to hear their stories, and in hearing become connected to, challenged, and encouraged by our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we might even be invited to stand with our family in our neighborhood, in our city, in those dark places, to love one another, proclaiming together the good news of the kingdom. Out there in the dark, I'm gonna let it shine. Changed, connected to the light, with light to offer, belonging to God's family, the children of light are invited into dark places. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand, that those who enter may see the light. In Christ, those who dwell in darkness have seen a great light. And it is Christ, our light, who invites us to let his light shine so that those who are in dark places may see the light. But darkness is unsettling. Dark places are uncomfortable, troubling, even terrifying. Violence in our city, police brutality, racial profiling, mass incarceration in a privatized prison industry, policies that call humans illegal, segregation, hunger, insecurity, gender inequality, and the list could go on. All spaces of darkness, all forms of structural sin and injustice, spaces God in Christ, by his Spirit, is inviting us, me, children of light, to shine the light of the love of Christ. And listen, I don't know, and I can't say what this looks like precisely. It can mean attending community meetings to hear diverse voices, attending police cop beat meetings. It can mean partnering with churches in other parts of this city to learn from and hear their stories. It can mean visiting fellow image bearers in prison. It can be opening our homes to refugees, to foster kids, to the elderly. It could be engaging your community elected officials. I don't know the space for you, but I know we're invited by the light of Christ as the light of the world to be children of light. And it seems like whatever the dark space that Christ calls us, it's going to be uncomfortable. So sing. It's already uncomfortable. Out there in the dark, I'm gonna let it shine. This song that I've been singing all morning, it may have started as a children's song back in the late 1930s. But this gospel song became an anthem of the civil rights movement in the 50s and 60s. I came across this interview by Bill Moyers with Dr. Bernice Johnson Reagan, who's an African-American scholar and civil rights activist, discussing this very song and the significant role it had in the civil rights movement. Listen to what she says. Sound is a way to extend the territory you can affect, so people can walk into you way before they get close to your body. And certainly the communal singing that people do together is a way of announcing that we're here, that this is real. And so anybody who comes into that space, as long as you're singing, they cannot change the air in that space. The song will maintain the air as your territory. She goes on to say, I've seen meetings where a sheriff has walked into a mass meeting and established the air because this is a sheriff that everybody knows. And they're taking pictures or taking names, and you know just your job is in trouble and blah, blah, blah. The only way people could take the space back was by starting a song. And inevitably, when police would walk into mass meetings, someone would start a song, and then people would join in. And as people joined in, the air would change. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. As I watched footage of African-American children and men and women sing that song in a mass meeting with police, I heard a song that was no longer cute, but bold. A powerful protest, proclaiming in spaces of darkness that children of light, changed by the grace of Christ, connected to the light of Christ, children who belong to God's family, are here in this dark space of injustice, shining the light of God's love. My prayer is that we would be a church who hear God's word and do it, who listen to Jesus, a people changed by the love of Christ, connected to Christ, and belonging to one another in Christ, a people who boldly move into dark places, singing, walking in the way of the cross and the power of the resurrection. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for who you are. That in the beginning you said, let there be light, and the story unfolds from there. You are the light of the world. And you have entered into our darkness that we too might join you in who you created us to be from the very beginning. A people who point to your love. Lord God, we pray that you would meet us now. Fill us by your Spirit. Form us, change us into a people who go from this place bearing witness to the light of the world in the way that we sacrificially love one another. You alone can do this work in us, we pray. In Jesus' name.